Welcome to the Transition Bridge Podcast, the podcast that will help you embrace, grow, and be transformed by the transitions of life. Now here's your host, Debbie Ronka.
Beauty starts in your head, not in your mirror. And don't let a number on the scale own you. Welcome to the Transition Bridge Podcast. I'm Debbie Ronka, your host, and today my very special guest is Braca Goetz. Braca Goetz is the Harvard-educated author of 40 books that help children's souls shine and a candid memoir for adults about overcoming food addictions joyfully. Braca, welcome to the Transition Bridge Podcast. It's a true honor to have you. You know, the topic of eating disorders and overcoming food addictions is one of those topics I feel is so important to talk about and to use our time together to bring insight and some hope to anyone who could be struggling or even knows someone who struggles with this addiction. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so very much. You have an incredibly beautiful voice. I feel like it's like a pure, still voice that I hope can enter the hearts of many people.
Thank you, Braca. That's very sweet of you to share. Thank you. Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing your story and how it is that you felt called to step into this arena to help women. Do you have a personal story regarding this?
Yeah, it really, I have a memoir. My memoir is basically I compiled my diaries, my journals, my letters, and it started at age 12 and it goes to age 32. And you see me gradually developing the food addictions. It's like almost like a documentary because it's actual excerpts from the diaries. So you see it happening very gradually, and then you see me healing. And I call it a psychological mystery. From putting the memoir together, that's how I began to see the thread that went through my life, and it helped me to understand why, when I finally found the spiritual nourishment that I was craving, why was I then able to heal from the food addictions? That's the mystery that gets solved.
I love how you referred to that as the psychological mystery, and that there really was a journey for you, that you were able to actually see the pattern and how you came to that spiritual place of healing, where I believe that. I believe this is a deeper, something deep that goes on inside of our soul, as well as our minds.
Exactly. And I love that. It's like, I just realized right now, because about a transition bridge, it was like a bridge. That's what it felt like, crossing over. What happens is we have an emptiness within. And the more we feel that emptiness, the more we try to fill it with externalities, it doesn't help, because it's not a physical hole. And the hunger is real. It's a genuine hunger, but it's not a physical hunger, because we all are spiritual beings. That's what I didn't know. And I didn't know, something was missing, but I didn't know what it was. So I didn't know how to fill the emptiness until I really found out that I was a spiritual being and that we need spiritual nourishment every day, just like we need physical nourishment in order to thrive in life.
That's so powerful, because you're so right. I mean, we concentrate on maybe the physical nourishment, but we do forget we could starve our soul.
Yes.
And our soul, gosh, is such an integral part of who we are and how we show up in life, and where that soul is wounded or needs to be healed or where it's broken. And so all of these things that come against us, if our soul is not healthy, gosh, we're really in a difficult situation, aren't we?
Exactly. We're suffering. And that's why addictions are so widespread. With food addictions, it's very easy to see the metaphor of filling ourselves up, but it's true for whatever addiction, whatever substance a person chooses, you know, whatever it is, it's a way to try to fill that emptiness. And it doesn't work, because what we're really after is lasting pleasure. It gives us this very temporary, fleeting comfort, and that's why they call it comfort food, you know, but it doesn't fill us with lasting pleasure. So we want to keep eating. We just keep going. That's why I was a binge eater more and more. It was never enough. And then, so that I wouldn't become obese, I would do restrictive dieting afterwards. So it was one or the other, and it was a horrible way to live. It was, the addiction began to control my whole life. I looked like a success on the outside. Here I was, Harvard, graduating from Harvard, went on to medical school. By the time I got to medical school, I was suffering more than ever. My behaviors were so bizarre. And as an addict, you do things in secret. That's really where you do your addiction, you know? And so nobody knew how I was suffering. And, you know, in my memoir, it's very raw. People can't believe that I actually write about what was going on, because it's embarrassing, but that's the only way to help people. I have to show how low my life went. And then you can appreciate how high up you can get, how you can reach. It's possible.
Yeah. That truly brings hope to me, because I think so many people who suffer with any type of addiction often wonder, will I ever get to the other side? Will I ever get better? And just hearing your story just brings the hope and the possibility, yes, if this is something that you want. So let me ask you, when you were in medical school, is stress and anxiety a part of this disorder? Is that one of the things that causes it to enter into your whole mindset?
Yeah, well one of the things, what's talked about in eating disordered literature is that it's a sense of loss of control and a sense of loss of trust in life. So for sure that creates anxiety. It creates alienation, estrangement, disconnection, loneliness, stress, depression. All of these factors is what causes a person to get actively addicted. And there's a quote that I love. Addiction is giving up everything for one thing, and recovery is giving up one thing for everything. You get everything back. Addiction takes over your entire life. It absorbs your energy. It drains you of energy. It drains you of your mental capacity. Here I was at Harvard. I became like the expert on eating disorders. I was doing breakthrough research that's still used in textbooks around the world. And I was getting sicker and sicker. It's not just an intellectual understanding. It's something much deeper. And, you know, people call it emotional eating. It's even deeper than that. We want to feel connection. When I finally got the spiritual nourishment I was craving, I got a sense of an understanding that I could trust the world, that the world was not chaotic, and that there was a good purpose to everything. There was a meaning to everything, because life seemed completely meaningless to me. The more that I was desperately searching, my morals left, the world turned gray, and then the colors came back. I started to appreciate life again. It's a total, total change.
It sounds so beautiful when you especially talk about how bleak it felt to you, and yet you had this turning point in your life, like something happened. Can you take us to that place? Like, Where were you right before that turning point, and what brought you to that place?
Yeah, I really wanted to give up on life. It sounds hard to believe. It looked like I had everything going for me, and I wasn't interested. That's how much a person suffers in an addiction. So in between my first and second year of medical school, I had a six-week break. I went to Israel that summer, and I came back 10 years later. So...
Oh my gosh. Oh, I'd love to go to Israel. That's on my bucket list.
It's not like any other place on earth. It's a spiritual vortex. When you get there, you will feel a direct connection to your soul like no place else. It's incredible. So when I was there, I came to volunteer at Hadassah Hospital, counseling patients on the oncology ward and their families. Meanwhile, I don't even know why life is worth living, and this is what I'm doing, you know? So I reconnected with a friend from childhood, and he took me to a school where I could learn about my heritage, my roots, because I didn't even know that there were spiritual roots to my heritage. Mm. I had a culture, but I didn't know about it. So I began to learn, and the spiritual wisdom that I learned right away, I felt such joy. There were things they were saying that were in Hebrew. I didn't even understand all the words they were saying, but I got the gist. I got that the teachers were very pure, idealistic people, and so were the students. They were young women like I was, just had enough of like cynicism in life and wanting, searching for an idealistic wisdom again. So that's what happened. I began to learn. And there was one rabbi in particular, he talked about the pleasure ladder. And he said something so amazing, that the purpose of life is to experience the greatest pleasure possible. So I'm like, what? That doesn't sound like spiritual. And he explained, the greatest pleasure possible in life are the spiritual pleasures. Those are the lasting pleasures. So he spoke of a pleasure ladder, which has five rungs. And I just realized last week that the five rungs, it's not an accident. There's five fingers. It's within our grasp. In other words, it's a totally empowering ladder of pleasure that we can climb at any moment in life. And there's only one price to pay, and that's gratitude. That's the only price you need to pay to climb this ladder. The lowest level are all the physical pleasures in this world, the natural physical pleasures that we can enjoy with our senses. So the five levels on the pleasure ladder, they correspond also to the five levels of the human soul. When we uplift ourselves physically, we also uplift the lowest part of our soul, which is the part connected to our bodies. We uplift it with gratitude when we eat natural food, spend time in nature, enjoy music, move, dance. We uplift our body and our soul. And then moving up the pleasure ladder, love. When we bring love into our life, it's not dependent on anybody else. That's the surprising part. It's us focusing on the virtues of another. We could do that in jail. A person in jail could focus on a grandmother that once did a kindness, and they're filled with a warm emotional feeling of love. And then the next level up is meaning. Doing something positive and meaningful is an even more lasting pleasure than creativity. When we put a unique part of ourselves into the world and we go into a zone where we don't feel like eating or sleeping, we are so high naturally from being creative. And the highest level of all is transcendence. When we make a tiny crack in a bad habit, in an addiction, we transcend our limitations. We see how we're all connected. We lift the veils of separation between us. we see how we're all connected to source energy, all of us, and we all share the same spiritual energy. And, you know, even under a starry, starry sky at night, you can sense that sense of transcendence that stays with you forever. So all of these are available to us at any time. We overeat and we engage in other addictions from a sense of scarcity. I don't have enough pleasure in my life, so I got to keep stuffing my face. But the pleasure ladder gave me a sense of abundance. This world was made for us to experience gratitude. That's really our purpose for being here. And that changed everything.
It just sounds like a perfect recipe. It really does. You know, bringing you, giving you, like, for me, having a visual of a ladder, it's like rung by rung, I climb the ladder and I come out from where I was. In that dark place, it gets lighter and lighter and stronger and stronger. Beautiful. The higher that you get.
Beautiful.
And I was really touched listening to you when back when you were counseling. I wrote this down because I have to ask you this question. Here you are counseling people who are in dire situations, losing all sense of hope, and yet you are giving them advice. My question to you is, you knew what to say and you probably really helped a lot of people, but did the words, as you spoke them to someone else, am I hearing this right, that they really did not have value pointing back at you? In other words, they were valuable to them and helped them, but to you, they were just like, they bounced off.
Right. Well, the truth is, I did not know what to say. I had no idea what to tell these people.
And okay.
That's what I was searching for. I spent time just listening, just being with them. That's all I could do. And that gave them something. They didn't feel alone. And I made connections with people. But I was so running on empty at that time. Mm. I didn't have anything to offer at all. I myself was searching, but I was a listening ear. I remember one woman who was sitting with her husband all day. He was a skeleton. He was still talking. There was almost nothing left of his body. I spent time with him and I spent a lot of time with his wife. And she just was thrilled to have someone to talk to and be with for all those hours she was spending mm-hmm. by him. But I didn't have what to give people at that time.
That's interesting, because I was thinking, since you were in that position, but you probably did and you just didn't realize it.
I was running on empty. I really was in a pit at that time in my life. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. I know a lot of it is like a spiritual deficit that we have that can attribute addictions coming into our lives. And I have a question for you. So do you think it's also a search for value? Is it a search for approval, or maybe even a better word, acceptance? So in other words, we have women who will binge or women who are anorexic, and it's all based on how they feel culture or society wants them to be or perceives them to be. Can you touch on that struggle as well?
Well, I did want to be thin because I thought it looked good, you know, that for sure. I thought it was more attractive and stuff like that. In my memoir, I talk about how I was a teenager and I'm reading these women's magazines and it talks about these great diets. Try this diet, try that diet. And then the next page is a recipe for strawberry shortcake. And I'm like, wait a minute, which thing am I supposed to listen to? Which message? There's so many confusing messages. It was a world where I lived in a state of confusion. And yes, I wanted control. That's what it was so much about. And so I could gain control by dieting. But then I'd lose control. And that was the most shameful part, the binge eating. It was so horrible and felt so out of control at those times. So that, you know, for sure, those the push to become thin was a big deal, but that was just, that's just an outside thing. The main thing is feeling so out of control in life in general. And I think that's what they have found is the main thing that's motivating this, and people feeling, oh, at least I can control what I eat. I could do that, you know, and that gives a, and then they see that it changes their body. Oh my goodness, you know, but it's still, it's not a joyful way to live. Living a life of restrictions and being focused all the time on the calories and things like that. That was it was so absorbing of my mental energy and, you know, just my whole life. So I recommend filling up on gratitude, because that's really what it's about. There's a show, My 600-Pound Life, and they say the only thing that was bringing me pleasure was eating food. So think about it. Identify what else can bring you pleasure besides food. We get into a habit. You know, oh, let's celebrate with food. But there's so many other ways too. There's so many other pleasures in life, you know, or celebrate with a natural food. And then, like, after you finish the bag of potato chips or the whole container of ice cream, you don't feel uplifted. No, you feel mm-hmm. emptier than you felt even before. But if you eat an orange, just take an orange. I love the example of an orange. It's green, it's camouflaged by the leaves until it's ripe, and then it's beautiful, and it says, come and get me now, I'm ready. And so it's made to be the most beautiful and attractive when it's ripe, smells beautiful, tastes juicy, and the peel keeps the juiciness in for months, and inside are the seeds of eternity. It becomes a tree. It becomes more and more oranges. And if you compare that to a orange flavored tangy taffy, it does nothing good for you. And the wrapper even pollutes the environment. You know, it's like, it's all these natural pleasures were made for us to nourish both our bodies and our souls and uplift us. We've just gone off course, you know, and we got to come back and enjoy the garden that was created for us.
There's so much health in that garden. And I just keep feeling over and over again that, you know, when you were describing the woman, you know, just, you know, eating, it's almost like I can hear her heart. She doesn't think she's valuable enough to enjoy the beautiful things in life. There's something that happens to our heart when other people say things about us or to us, our emotional woundings of our heart, that we lose our self-worth, we lose our self-value,
exactly.
And that we don't feel like we don't have permission to step in to enjoy, and we need
exactly.
someone else to come along with the truth to dismantle that lie, because that's a lie that was sown into the woman's soul, and that's a lie that becomes the foundation of how we live our life. And so if we live into that lie, we begin to believe we're not worthy, we're not valuable, and so we do reach to other things. We try to fill the treasure chest of our heart with other things that do not satisfy. And I know that has got to be so painful. I have a quote here. It says, to you, I am your best athlete. To me, I am worthless, flawed, and unappreciated. And then it says, help me understand. And it showed a picture of a young girl. And so much is our perception. So much is how we see ourselves. Someone else sees her as the best athlete, and yet her value, self-esteem, and worth was so low. She saw herself flawed, worthless, and yet please help me understand. There is the cry of the woman's heart to be told, to be shown their value and worth and the potential that God has given them to use with the very life that he is giving them to live. And I don't know if you've ever seen, and I hope I can explain this well, the Dove commercial body image. It's probably one of the most powerful advertisements that I have seen. And for the sake of the listeners, what happens is they have a forensic artist in one room, and they'll bring a young lady in, and she sits behind a partition. He cannot see her face. And he asks her to describe her facial features, like describe herself. And so he draws her based on what she says. And then she leaves the room. Now, earlier during the day, she was encouraged to spend time with another individual that she never met before. And they kind of develop, you know, a rapport with one another, and they spend time. Well, later they bring back this person, this stranger, to sit behind the curtain. And the same artist will ask her or him about the person he just sketched. How would you describe her? And then he sketches hers. And then eventually they bring back in the original woman, the subject matter of the whole project, and they show her both sketches, the one how she sees herself and the one how others see her. It is so amazing because the way each person saw themselves, their faces were hard, their features were distorted. They had such a different image versus the person who just met them for the first time, and their faces were radiant, everything about them was beautiful. And so if I can just share that and just insert that in there, that we are more than what we see in the mirrors. And, you know, our mind, our heart, and our soul can distort what is in there, but that is not your true self. And how important it is to find community, how important it is to find someone who could tell you your beauty, point it out, and draw you forth.
Absolutely. So true. Because in addition to nourishing our hungry souls, if a person has been through trauma, neglect, abuse, you know, of any type, especially as a child, then they usually need therapeutic intervention to help lift those layers of protection, those coping mechanisms off, because the soul naturally wants to connect. But through defensive mechanisms, we've added many layers of protection, and the natural mode becomes protection. So they're not going to feel they're beautiful. They want to protect themselves, you know? Oh, no. So they need, usually a person needs therapeutic intervention as well to help remove all those layers of protection to be able to get their souls to shine again. We have infinitely resilient souls. They need both. They need the nourishment every day. That means the gratitude, enjoying life, allowing yourself to enjoy life, is being compassionate to yourself in a way maybe your parents never were to you. It's giving you back the pleasures to enjoy life's simple pleasures. And, you know, when you start giving yourself all this joy, all the gratitude for what you already have in life, then you realize, oh, I'm worthy. I'm worthy of all this joy. I'm worthy of all the gifts that I already have in my life. I'm worthy that I'm breathing. I'm worthy that all these parts of my body are working. I'm worthy that all the illnesses I don't have right this minute. You start appreciating the sunshine, taking a walk. They become gifts again. And then you'll notice that you're valuing yourself more because you're a person receiving tons and tons of gifts every single day. It's an amazing route to feeling worthy. And gratitude is that path. And you may need support from someone else as well to help you remove those levels, those layers, so you can shine.
we never get to clarity alone, and we can never walk that journey coming out to the other side by ourselves, because we need an objective voice. We need truth. Because when we're in that place, we're only hearing our perspective. And it's very difficult to rise above that. Our own limiting beliefs, the own lids that we've put on our potential, the way we perceive ourselves, not even looking across that bridge, that transition bridge, to see what's on the other side. And I always love to encourage people, you know, the beginning of walking across that bridge takes a lot of courage, because you have to step up on it and you have to begin the journey. And when you get in the middle, you may hit and encounter things about yourself that maybe you didn't see before. Maybe you don't understand. Maybe you don't even like about yourself, but it's an opportunity to become aware and to find healing from the trauma that is stored in our bodies, that's keeping us locked or captive, for finding healing to our heart from maybe wounds from childhood. A lot gets revealed in that time, but the beauty of surrendering, and not surrendering in weakness, but surrendering in letting go by the discovery of what you have found, brings revelation. It brings the revelation that you need. And I believe that you, as you surrender and that revelation comes and you get to that other side of the transition bridge, all of the people that you are supposed to meet, that are supposed to be a part of that new journey, that new direction, that new place of love and fullness that you're experiencing, they're just waiting for you. So I just want to encourage people to know there are people who need you. There are people who are waiting for you. And to remove the veil from your eyes for just this moment and believe what I am saying, believe what Braca is saying, that you are altogether lovely, you are altogether worthy, and you have been born for a divine purpose. Your dreams count. You matter. And your destiny has so much fulfillment and empowerment, not just for you, but for others, because the world needs what you have.
Wonderful. I love it. There's an expression, here's a test to find out if your mission on earth is complete. If you're alive, it isn't. You're here for a reason.
Many reasons.
Yes.
If we still have breath, there are things for us to do. Yeah. And I like how you share that even someone in jail could think of, you know, gratitude. Think of a person. What was it? Gratitude or love, or thinking of like a grandmother who had showed an act of kindness. In other words, take our eyes off of ourselves, because that gratitude heals trauma in our brains. Yes,
exactly.
And so it's so important for us to develop that. That's a great habit to put into our lives.
Exactly. Fill up on gratitude. It fills up all those dark corners. It's amazing. Every minute we're being grateful, we're not being miserable. Any moment, just keep those moments coming. Yeah.
It's so true. I have a dear friend. He was on one of my first podcasts. He actually had a parachute malfunction and fell 15,000 feet.
Gosh.
And he survived.
Wow.
And when we talked, I said, you know, how did that change you? And, you know, he said, Debbie, I'm more grateful for my life. It's changed my heart. The things that I thought were important before, he said, he just looks at life so different now. He's so grateful to be alive, and he's still walking out physical things and brain trauma, but oh my Lord, how far he's come. But he has the kindest heart. You could just sit at his feet and just breathe in all the life he imparts from such a tragedy in his life. So I see that up close and personal. in so many people's lives that have experienced tragedy, it's been their gratitude, it's been their that healing of their heart and soul that they've transcended into these beautiful souls. Yes. I'm always inspired by.
Yes, it's exactly right. Can I, I just heard a story today. You might have heard it, but I just heard it today. The imagine that there was a farmer's donkey fell into a well, and the farmer was trying to get him out. He's down there crying. And so they get his neighbors. They're trying to get him out. And they can't do it. They go, you know, he's an old donkey anyway. And the well was dry. Let's just fill it up with dirt. So they start shoveling in the dirt. And he's crying louder than ever, the donkey, and he's growling. And then it stops. And he's no longer crying. And when they look down, they see that the donkey has risen up on the dirt. He's packed the dirt down with his hoofs. And he's almost at the top. At the end, he just climbs right out and walks out. He packed the dirt down and he climbed on top of it to get out of the well. And what this means for our lives, you know, we are thrown into a pit and many times in our lives. It's going to happen. All these challenges, people are going to throw dirt at us, and we can actually use it to ascend. To ascend, to become even greater people. It's possible to climb out of the pit and to ascend to the light, just like you were describing. It's possible for all of us. Those that have been hurt, we were given these challenges for a reason, to become even greater people. It's within our potential.
What a powerful story. Oh, we could step on our dirt and rise up. Mm-hmm. Wow. Braca, I love that story. You have shared so much today, so much wisdom. I just am breathing it all in, everything that you are sharing. And do you have anything that in our final moments together that you would like to share with anyone who's listening?
I'll share a tiny quote from the head of Amazon, you know, Jeff Bezos. It's so funny to me because when you think big, you think Amazon. And he said, everything I've ever done in life has started small. So I get a kick out of that because, you know, that he's the epitome of big. So that's all you have to do. Just add moments of gratitude. Any moment you're feeling gratitude is a moment you're not miserable. You're not lonely. You're not alienated. Gratitude builds connection. And that's the way out. That's the way out to keep rising higher and higher. Just keep filling your moments up with pearls, little pearls. Pearls are made out of an irritation that a person, that the clam feels an irritation. It builds a pearl. Keep stringing pearls. Yeah.
And you know, the pearls are so beautiful. Girls love yes. pearls.
Yes.
And yes. I'm so grateful that you have been with us today on the Transition Bridge podcast. So much from your journey. And I highly recommend that people reach out to you. Would you mind just saying your website out loud? And I'll also have it in my show notes if people wanted to go to your website to see your books.
Yeah, my youngest children created the Getz Bookshop. So it's getzbookshop.com, and Getz is GOETZ. So you'll find all my books, 40 books for children to help their souls shine. So they don't have to play catch up the rest of their lives. Get the skills for joy at the very beginning of life. And then there's my memoir about my journey. Yeah.
I'm definitely getting that memoir. I do want to read it because I just think I'll learn so much from your story as I have today. And I want to encourage everyone. It's, as Braca has shared, it's just taking one step at a time. Just choose today. I'm going to take one step. And then tomorrow, just try another step. And don't worry and don't focus about all that you've done wrong. Just start to focus on what you're doing right. Like taking a step, being grateful, tapping into your creativity, reaching out for help. Focus on that. Focus more on the solution than where you've been. Because you want to turn now and face, have your face looking forward to your future. There's a bright future waiting for you. Just like Braca said, the colors will change. It will go from bleak to just the colors of life will come to greet you. So I want to thank all of you for coming and listening today and being a supporter of the Transition Bridge podcast. It's a place for all of us to come together as a village, to grow, to embrace, and to be empowered by the purpose and power of our transitions.
Thank you for joining us today on the Transition Bridge podcast. We appreciate you. If you enjoyed listening today, please go ahead and subscribe or review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to check out the show notes. And for more information about Debbie, go to DebbieRonca.com. That's DebbieRonca.com.